Welcome to the Bible Story Podcast.
Hey, my name is John Drabert. I am with my friend Braden Pohowicz. Thanks so much for tuning in. We desire to help you and every other listener grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, Braden works with me at Covenant Bay Bible Camp, and he's going to become a permanent fixture on this show and help me share some of the stories with you.
Perfect. Thank you, John. Yes, I am a permanent fixture on this show now. I was waiting for you 2 years ago to ask me, but that's okay. You finally got to it.
Hold on. This show didn't even exist 2 years ago.
Yeah, but I knew it was coming.
You are smart like that, aren't you?
Yeah, so I'm very excited to join the show. I'm can't wait to just have an opportunity to be able to talk about some of the cool things that God is doing at Covenant Bay and through this podcast. And yeah, here we have listeners all over the world now, which is kind of cool, and I think it's growing in ways that we didn't really expect, specifically 2 years ago.
Especially two years ago. Well, here's what we want you to learn today. Always look to God.
You know, it's been interesting. So with this coronavirus thing or COVID-19, it's still happening. I think, you know what, it feels like we're 6 months in, and I think this story specifically helps us get some good perspective or shifts our outlook on the whole thing.
So maybe expand on that just a little bit.
Well, I think with the pandemic or with the coronavirus, there's a lot of big questions. You know, we're asking ourselves, well, did God do this? Is this a punishment? Did he allow it to happen? Where is he in all of this? Or is he, you know, taking a back seat? Is he watching it happen? Is he here at all? Is he right beside me? All of this kind of just we're asking this because we're unsure.
Right. So those are huge questions.
Right. And just to be clear, I don't think that the story has all of the answers, but it definitely has some clues and some hints and some wisdom for us to learn.
All right. Well, let's get into some of the background for this story. So the nation of Israel has left, and they have been wandering in the wilderness for a long time. They've left Egypt, where they were slaves. And
we're talking about the Israelites, correct?
That's right.
The nation of Israel.
The nation of Israel.
Gotcha.
Now, just before this story takes place, the people have been complaining, and they've been complaining about no water, and Moses kind of gets ticked off or irritated, and so he hits his staff twice on a rock, and water gushes out. After this, the Canaanite king of Arad, who lived in the Negev, heard that the Israelites were approaching on the road through Athrim, and so he attacked the Israelites and took some of them as prisoners. Then the people of Israel made this vow to the Lord. They said, if you will hand these people over to us, we will completely destroy all their towns. The Lord heard the Israelites' request and gave them victory over the Canaanites, and the Israelites completely destroyed them and their towns. And the place has been called Hormah ever since.
I assume we continue on and the story has more.
Yeah, so this is a fairly short story, and it doesn't take a long time, and it's only a few verses in the Bible, but it is super bizarre. Like, one of those stories that kind of comes out of left field, and you think, what is this all about?
Perfect, like lots of your humor. Bizarre.
Sure. So Israel is about to travel by foot from Mount Hor to the Red Sea, and that's going to take a long time. It doesn't just happen overnight. It's not a quick trip.
Right. So these people then are walking by foot for weeks or on foot, and they actually get attacked then and end up attacking a bunch of other countries on the way. But that all happens after the story.
Correct. And so Moses, who's the leader of Israel, announces to the people how they need to go to the Red Sea. That road that they're going to walk, it's going to go around a bunch of these countries, which they end up fighting.
Okay, so pause for a moment. Why are all the people following Moses, or who is this guy?
Right. Okay. So Moses was an Israelite, and long story short, he is called by God through a burning bush that never burned up. Kind of weird, I know, but
all right.
You'll have to read the story for yourself.
Gotcha.
So he was called by God to free the Israelites who were slaves to the Egyptians. And so they have been granted their freedom, not willingly, by the way, by the Pharaoh and the Egyptians, but they're granted their freedom and they get their freedom and they've been wandering in the desert ever since.
Gotcha. So Moses, in many ways, was given this responsibility from God, and then people trusted Moses because of his relationship with God. All right. So they're taking the long way around, it sounds, traveling by foot.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than taking the most direct route. And so obviously all of these people walking for a very long time could know that there is a shorter route, and they're complaining now against Moses and God.
Listen to these words that they were saying. "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness?" they complained. "There is nothing to eat here and nothing to drink, and we hate this horrible manna."
Wow, sounds super dramatic.
Well, you know, I might have added a bit of flair.
Okay, so you mentioned that they're complaining about manna, and while manna is something that would sustain them as food for the time being, and then after all God had done for them, and he's giving them something to sustain them, and he's helping them and rescuing them, and Moses is leading them, and all of this, and they're still complaining. And then it's easy to point out the error of the Israelites, I guess. But I've certainly done the same thing. In bad circumstance, I find myself complaining.
Absolutely. You know, living in Canada where we work and live, it's pretty incredible when I think about it. We have a stable government, good jobs, an excellent education system, a great healthcare system, yet I have complained about every single one of these things at some point in my life.
Yeah. You know what, John? I think I certainly have too. It's easy to lose perspective when we think our days go by relatively easily, and then something is a minor inconvenience, and all of a sudden we're like the Israelites complaining in the desert, very upset about something that for us is minor.
Mm-hmm.
But we have huge blessing and we don't really recognize that.
Well, the Israelites complain, and God immediately, he does something about it. He sends a bunch of snakes, so many snakes that they call it a plague.
Okay, so these snakes are poisonous. God has sent them, and they're because of their complaining, and people are getting bitten and dying. The snakes are poisonous, and so obviously there's fear and there's panic in the Israelites. And I mean, that feeling must have been intense. You would have been watching people die around you.
Yeah.
Again, the snakes are poisonous, but that doesn't really sound like a forgiving or gracious God, at least in terms of the Israelites. They probably would have been terrified.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a great point that it doesn't sound like the God that we have come to know.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should look at this a little bit more after this story. So the people are getting bitten by these snakes and dying. So they go to Moses and say something to the effect, "Hey, we have sinned by complaining and talking badly about God and you. Pray to God for us so that these snakes will be taken away." So that's what Moses does. He goes to God and on behalf of the people and prays. He requests that the snakes be taken away.
So a quick question for you, John, then.
Mm-hmm.
It says that they're saying they've sinned by complaining. Does that mean complaining is a sin?
Well, I don't know if complaining is a sin, but I think it's what's within our heart when we speak whatever we're speaking, whether it's complaint or whatever it might be, that really dictates if it's going to be sinful or not.
Right. Gotcha. So has God ever answered your prayers differently than you have requested?
Yeah, he has. And if I'm going to be honest, it's sometimes really frustrating. But I have to remember that God has the best plan in mind.
Right. And so God doesn't answer the prayer maybe specifically or precisely how you wanted him to answer. And we see this with the Israelites when they brought the request to Moses. God doesn't take the snakes away. He doesn't, make them disappear, the thing that he had sent. God sent the snakes. Instead, he helps the people of Israel through the snake plague. So listen to God's response. He says, it says in the Bible, "Then the Lord told him, make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. All who are bitten will live if they simply look at it. That's super weird.
So Moses obeys and makes a bronze snake and attaches it to a pole. Anyone who was bitten by a snake was healed.
Wow.
And God didn't stop the plague of snakes. He did help the Israelites get through that difficult time, but the snakes were still there. So there's a lot for us to learn from this short story. Most importantly, we need to learn that we can always look to God.
Right. So in this story, I mean, we're seeing God present the bronze snake, which helps the Israelites focus on something other than the plague around them, which I'm assuming could be a representation of always looking to God.
Mm-hmm.
So in the scripture, we see that we constantly see God's love for humanity over and over again. God rescues people from difficult or dangerous situations. But in the story, specifically this one, we see God actually causing the difficulty. God sent the snakes, which at first glance really seems opposite from helpful.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like rescue at all.
No.
This can be hard to make sense of and understand. Have you ever played with a friend whose parents never corrected his or her behavior?
Yeah. I mean, I found it really hard just spending time or being around them.
Yeah. We all need correction. Remember Israel was complaining about God's instructions of going to the Red Sea? They were talking poorly of God and Moses. So God used the snakes to correct them. Now, this seems kind of harsh, but imagine if Israel was left to complain and become just even more self-centered.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would have been cruel to not correct the Israelites.
They would have constantly been in their own way of thinking.
Yep.
So in a way, then, God's correction for us is part of his compassion. He intervenes at times when, if we continued on that behavior or continued on those thoughts, we could actually do damage or hurt ourselves or others. And now when we say correction, it's not that we're saying that God is forcing us into that choice or that he's taking away the free will that we have. He just corrects the Israelites or points them in new directions. And sometimes that's through a reminder or through encouragement, or sometimes, like in this story, it's through a difficult circumstance.
Yeah. At the beginning of this episode, you noted that this story could help us gain some perspective on what is happening today in our world, specifically with maybe the coronavirus. So I'll throw it back your way. Why did God allow this to happen?
That's a really good question, and I'm not fully sure. I guess sometimes bad things happen because of choices we make. The Israelites were complaining that was a choice that they had. But sometimes bad things happen that seem completely unrelated to the behaviors. I mean, look at the coronavirus or a tornado or a family member getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't necessarily related to any of my or your actions.
Right. You didn't really answer the question though, Braden.
Okay. I mean, I did answer the question, technically. Let me clarify. I'm not sure why God allowed this to happen. I don't know why he is allowing the coronavirus to happen or necessarily why he sent those snakes to Israel other than correction or reminder. And so I guess for us, it's a reminder, or things that we see around us are corrections or reminders to just always look to God.
So no matter what it might be, it could be the coronavirus, but it also could be something positive. Anything can be a reminder for us to always look to God.
Right. I mean, oftentimes in the morning, it's a beautiful sunrise and I experience God's presence and I thank him for those things.
Yeah. So what you're saying does make sense, but it's hard to understand.
For sure.
And I think part of the reason it's hard to understand it is, can any of us really understand the thoughts and the reasons of God?
I don't think I can.
Yeah. He's just so much greater than us. Even though we may not know why all of these things are going on, we can trust God because he has proven his character to be loving, to be compassionate, and to be faithful. His character is consistent. It does not change.
Right. And we know from the stories in the Bible and through our own life experiences that God's not taking a back seat.
Right.
God is experiencing all of these world events with us. He's experiencing the heartaches and the pain and the difficulty he sees. But we still know that he is good and these things are for good.
So maybe we are asking the wrong question. Instead of why did God allow this to happen, perhaps we should be asking, will I trust God during this situation?
Wow. Yeah, you know what? I thought we started off with big questions, but I think that one might be bigger. It makes sense. I mean, sure, I think I can answer that. Yeah, I can trust God. I know through my own experiences, but my answer can't be everybody else's answer. I think we all need to land on that for ourselves.
Yeah. Well, in this story, God did not take away the snakes, but God gave people a means to receive healing from snake bites. As we look to God today, as we go to him, we will find healing and restoration in a lot of areas of our lives. What I can't say to anyone is what God will heal you or anyone else of. Unlike this story today, there is no bronze snake on a pole to look at so we can be healed.
Right. And I mean, look around our world. The pandemic and a bunch of other stuff is still unfolding. There's lots we don't know. The best thing we can do is just continue to look at God.
Yeah. Continue to look at God. I like that. It's time for our growth tip, a way for you to grow in a relationship with Jesus.
Perfect. I mean, I have a good one, I think.
Okay.
It's something that's always helped me. I believe that having some daily quiet time with God is incredible, kind of free from distraction. So creating a regular habit of spending time with God in prayer or in Bible reading or journaling, if that helps you, just spending time away from distraction with God.
Yeah. You know, when life gets hard, this habit of meeting with God becomes life-giving. We can see why it is so important. There's literally nothing like spending time with the all-powerful creator of the universe. It's pretty incredible.
Well, I mean, when you put it that way, all-powerful creator of the universe, it really seems like an obvious thing to do. I would suggest attaching it to a habit that already exists. So in my life, at times, I've done this while I eat lunch every day at work. Lunchtime's the same. Or maybe it's a morning routine with stretching. Or maybe, for me, it's probably always over coffee. Or maybe it's on the bus or in the car on your way to school.
I like that, though. It's a great idea, connecting it to a habit that already exists. Well, spend time with God. You won't regret it.
Absolutely.
It's been a lot of fun to be able to spend some time with you today.
Yeah. John, I'm so excited to be a permanent member of this podcast. And if you guys out there would like to read the story that we talked about today, that can be found in Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 to 9.
Thanks for listening. We will chat with you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Bible Story Podcast. There is nothing more important than a growing relationship with Jesus. Share this with a friend and have a great discussion.